Pastor David started the series on the book of Daniel, an exciting book. But it is important whenever we go to Scripture to remember the context, to remember the environment, the scene, the background, what happened before, who he's speaking to. All these are important to help us understand. So in context, I'd like to bring to your attention a few things that is happening in the book of Daniel here. First of all, the Israelites, God's people, are in exile. This is not the first time they've been in exile. If you remember, just a few years before, the Israelites were again in exile. And it took someone as great as Charlton Heston, but it was Moses who brought Israel out of exile in Egypt. Now, Israel in exile again. And this time, they are in exile under subjugation on the hands of the Babylonians. Just to give you a wide picture, to step back, this is one time where the Israelites are not under exile, under one oppressive power, but three in a row. Today, we're in chapter 4. Chapter 1 to chapter 4 of Daniel, they're under the subjugation of the Babylonians. Starting in chapter 5, I think that's next week, they will be under the subjugation of the Persians, under the king Belshazzar. So chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king. Babylon has been ousted. The Persians, the Media Persians come in. They take over. I want you to try and put yourself, just for a little moment, in the shoes of the Israelites. Imagine if here, as Americans, what would it be like if we had an oppressive power subjugate us called Egypt? We finally break free. We come to the land, the promised land, only to be subjugated again. But this time, not by one, but three different kingdoms. Babylon, then the Persians. And after the Persians, chapter 6, the Greeks come under King Darius, and he takes over. So this time, Israel is subjugated by three different kings over a long period of time. By the way, is that the last of it? Has Israel been subjugated just four times? Egypt, Babylon, Persia, and then the Greeks? No, one more. Rome, we remember during the days of Jesus, Rome comes and subjugates God's people. So take just a moment as you listen to Daniel. Understand what the environment is. Here are people who said, this has happened before and is happening again. And then when finally God humbles Nebuchadnezzar, and the Israelite says, only to go, oh, Belshazzar. Belshazzar. He comes along. And he's not a kind king either. And then after that, Darius. So that's the scene that we're stepping into. That is the context. When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, subjugated Israel, he took fine young men, the Bible doesn't say this, but maybe fine young women as well, and they served him. And when they served him, he gave them new names, gave them Babylonian names. It makes me think of a time back in the 70s. Some of you are not as familiar with this sport, but across the pond where I come from, badminton which I know someone loves badminton. Badminton is big. And there was a world champion. His name was Lim Swee King from Indonesia. He was the champion. But where did he live? Indonesia. What is Indonesia? It's a Muslim country. And they told Lim Swee King, you are no longer Lim Swee King. You must take on an Indonesian name. He said, I am the world badminton champion. I don't need to listen to you. Guess what they did? He retired. And after he retired, every time he opened up a business, he went into the sports apparel business. Every time he opened up a business, a factory, they burned it down. And they burned it down. And they burned it down. All for one reason. He will not take on an Indonesian name. Here we have the Israelites where the Babylonian says, you shall take a Babylonian name. Not just a Babylonian name, a name that honors our gods. Ooh, that has even extra significance here. So, Daniel was named Belteshazzar, different from the Persian king that comes, Belshazzar. This is Belteshazzar. Kind of confusing. Daniel was given the name Belteshazzar, and his three close friends were given names as well. And we read here that he says, and Hananiah was renamed Shadrach, Mishael was renamed Meshach, and Azariah was renamed Abednego. It reminds me also of a time when I was in college and a great preacher named E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill was a pastor of a church in Watts, outside of L.A., if you remember the Watts riots. He's a tall, big African-American man. And he can say this, and I hesitate to say this, but I'll try. I hope I don't get lynched for this. I'm just quoting E.V. Hill. And E.V. Hill says, the black man was in the Bible. How do we know this? Because we read that there was Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Well, like I said, he could say it. I have to watch when I get to say this. But here, Israel was under subjugation, not for the first time, forced to take on names after their gods. Things were not good. And today, we get to chapter 4. And if you remember, Pastor David covered the first two parts of chapter 4. The very first part of chapter 4, which is verse 1 to 18, Nebuchadnezzar the king had a dream. Some people say a vision. It was very, very clear. It was like he was in it. He didn't understand it. But we read that it made his knees tremble. It alarmed him. It frightened him. But he didn't know what it means, so he called all his wise men, his magi, and none of them understood it. Then came Daniel. And this is the second part, verse 19 to 27, the second part, he calls Daniel and Daniel interprets the dream for him and says, this is what it means, O king. And then today, we cover the last part of chapter 4, where the prophecy, what Daniel's interpretation, it comes true. So what is the dream? Well, we'll get to that. But to impress on you, dreams. I am not one that would claim to interpret dreams. If you tell me a dream, I'll just go, what you have for dinner last night? But it does remind me of one time when I was sharing with Pastor David. I said, Dave, last night I had a great dream. I dreamt I was in Disneyland. And I rode all the rides. And there were no lines. and I hung out with Goofy and Daffy and Mickey, boy, that was a great dream. And David said, I had a great dream too. I dreamt that the doorbell rang, I opened, and here was a delivery person and delivered a hot, piping New York thin crust pizza. Oh! And just as I took it and I was walking away from the doorbell rang again. And I went back to the door, and here was another delivery guy with a deep dish Chicago pizza. Oh my! And I said to David, I said, two pizzas? Why didn't you call me? And he said, Wilson, I did. Esther said you were in Disneyland. Dreams. Dreams. Well, Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But it wasn't a good one. So let's go back to the dream. The dream says, while Nebuchadnezzar was at ease and flourishing, at ease and flourishing, things were good. His empire is strong. He's collecting taxes. He's got lots of this and that. And things were at ease, which means he's no longer at war. He's reclining. He's enjoying life. And then all of a sudden, he had a dream that we read says was fearful and alarming. And here's the dream. There was a tall tree. I don't know if you can imagine that. I've seen some tall trees. But if you ever go to the Redwood Forest out in the West Coast, these trees, wow, you look up. They're taller than some buildings. They're taller than a lot of buildings. So he dreamt there was a tall tree. And then an angelic being appeared and said, cut it down. But he didn't just say cut it down. He said, cut it down in order that the living may know that it is the Most High who is the ruler. Cut it down. Don't be amazed and at awe at this tree. Be amazed and at awe at me. I, the Most High, am the ruler. So that's the dream. Daniel interprets it and says, O king, the tree is you. A decree from the Most High is upon you, O king. You will be driven to live with the beasts until you recognize that the Most High, He is the ruler. This is your last chance to repent. That's the second part. Pastor Dave probably covered that last week. What's the dream? Tree. That's you, O king. Cut down. God's going to take you down. He's going to humble you until you recognize that He is the Most High. Here's your chance. Repent. Repent. Today, we come to the last part of chapter 4, and this ends Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Roy Kerner read for us, in the very first part, it says, and all this did happen to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. When did it happen? Not immediately. 12 months later, it happened. God gave him 12 months. Think about it. Change your ways. You have 12 months. God didn't say, turn over to a new leaf immediately. I'm giving you 12 months. King Nebuchadnezzar had two options. One, think about it. Or two, forget about it. Which one do you think happened? Well, we read on here, it says, 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of his royal palace, and the king, reflecting, said, is this not Babylon the Great? He's pounding his chest, and he says, which I, Nebuchadnezzar, I myself have made. I made this great empire. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice came to heaven. Time's up. 12 months is up. Here he is, pounding his chest, saying, look at me. I built this great empire. At that moment, while the words were still in his mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty, your rule has been removed from you. Your time is up. And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat like the cattle. And for 7 periods of time, it will pass over you until you recognize that it is I, God, who is the Most High, who is the ruler over the realm of mankind. And I, God, bestows on whomever I wish. This is a time where he's pounding his chest and God comes and says, I gave you 12 months. I gave you 12 months. And so Nebuchadnezzar was cast out into the wilderness. Some people, and I've seen some ancient drawings of Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't like them, so I didn't even want to put one up to show you this could be what he looked like. Because every single portrait, imaginary portrait of Nebuchadnezzar was him on all fours, but he looked like Samson. He had muscles that were enormous. People back then liked to draw a picture of the physique that way. But I like to put up a picture of what Nebuchadnezzar possibly looked like. Can we put up that picture that I have? How many of you remember this? His hair grew long, his beard grew long, he was naked, and every morning the dew wet his back. He couldn't shave, he couldn't brush his teeth, he couldn't clip his toenails. But if you could picture Nebuchadnezzar like this, he had a friend named Wilson. Well, thank you. Some said he turned into an animal. He did not. How do we know this? We read later on, he says, and reason returned to him. If you remember, this part-time pastor of yours used to be in psychiatry. And we truly believe he became insane. God took reason from him. He was talking gibberish. He was acting bizarrely. And his close counselors and generals just said, how can he be our king? So they threw him out. And he lived with the animals. And he slept out there. So every morning he woke up with dew on his back. And his nails grew long and his hair grew long. His hair grew as long as the feathers of eagles. How many of you have seen eagle feathers? They're not short. They're not little feathers. He was out there for 7 periods. How long is 7 periods? This is one of those little trivia things that we shouldn't put too much effort in trying to figure it out, because the book of Daniel is one of the rare books in the Old Testament that is not written in Hebrew. This is during a time Israel was under subjugation. They could not even write about it in Hebrew. The book of Daniel is written in Aramaic. I studied Aramaic. And when they say 7 periods, how long is 7 periods? The consensus is still this. A period is around a year. It's around a year. Give and take. Which calendar you want to use. It's about a year. So, how long was he, King Nebuchadnezzar, out there living like an animal eating grass? Not 7 days. Not 7 weeks. 7 years. 7 years he was there. What do we read next? Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from mankind, began eating grass, just like it was said it would. His body was drenched. His hair grew. His nails grew. And at the end of those periods, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven. And my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised him, I honored him, he who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can ward off his hand. By the way, I like to just plant myself here just for a moment. No one can ward off his hand. This is something that has impressed me. And so I live my life this way. I'm not suggesting that you do. Some of you don't. But there are times where people come to me and say, Wilson, pray that this person who is at their deathbed, pray that God would spare them. And every so often, I've had this experience less than a handful of times, I could not. I could sense God saying, Wilson, I am bringing him home, or I'm taking him away. Or her. And who am I to try and ward off God's hands? No one can ward off God's hands. And then the last part. No one can say to him, what have you done? What have you done? No one gets to chastise God, shake their finger at God and say, what have you done? Why would you do that? We don't get to say that. We don't. I remember one time, it was at a church camp, and a woman brought her mother, and her mother received Jesus at that camp. I was very pleased. But then, the daughter came to me and said, Pastor, now that my mother has received Jesus, if my sister will not come to faith, then this God is no God of mine. I took a step back. Here is a woman shaking her finger and says, God, you better. Do as I tell you. And if you don't, how could you? We don't get to talk to God like that. We don't. And that's why Pastor Dave and I caution people when we hear pastors preach on what we call the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. That says, pray it and claim it, or say it and claim it, or something like that. We don't get to talk to God like that. We don't tell God, God, you said you would prosper me. Hand it over. We don't get to talk to God like that. This is the Almighty you're talking to, that we approach with fear and trembling. And here is King Nebuchadnezzar, who had no fear of the Almighty. And finally, God said, I will humble him. And he did. For 7 years. And finally, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He turned his face up to the heavens, praised and honored God, and said, You are the ruler of all, not me. You are. And how does it end? It says, at that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor was restored to me. And for the glory of my kingdom and my counselors and nobles, they sought me, and I was reestablished in my sovereignty. And surpassing greatness was added to me. Kind of a good ending. He turned to God, and God gave him back his sovereignty. What we don't see here is Babylon. What is the saying? It is hard for a leopard to lose its spots. Here, the king finally acknowledges it is the Hebrew God who is the true God, but the people of Babylon. And so here comes Persia. Belshazzar comes and pummels Babylon. This is a passage that talks about how God can humble a person who looks at himself with great pride and say, look at me, look at me. I'd like you to consider James chapter 4, verse 6. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'd like you to consider Luke 14, verse 11, where we receive the caution, for everyone who exalts himself, he will be humbled. But he who humbles himself, he will be exalted. Any one of you say, gosh, look at what I've done. Look at where I've gone. Remember, it is God who is the ruler of all. But today I'd like you to focus on the picture of humility. We've seen the picture of pride. Here's the picture of humility. Philippians 2. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he is God, he did not regard his equality with God as a thing to be grasped. He did not say, mine, I am God. But rather, he emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, made in the form of likeness of man. Found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and down here on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What is the picture of humility? Here is the picture of humility. I've seen some pictures of humility. People point to many people, Gandhi or someone else. And I said, no, you want to see a picture of humility. Here is a picture of humility. Here is God himself saying, I will not grasp. I will not take hold. I will let go that which is rightfully mine. And that is all the privileges of my divinity. I will let it go. And I will humble myself, take on the form of a servant, a lowly man, and give my life up for us. So today, as you think about Nebuchadnezzar, his pride to the point where he was humbled and he turned back to God, may you always stay humble. May you always remember to have the attitude of Christ not taking hold of what you say. This is who I am. This is me. Call me. I once reacted, and probably shouldn't have, when someone introduced himself as Reverend Kenan Wright. And I go, wow, that's a lot of names before your name. Do not take hold, even though you say, but this is what I earned. Do not take hold of that, lest God humbles you. But rather have the attitude of Christ by considering the other person as more important than you. I don't mean to draw highlight, but we have some humble servants at this church. I know some folks who, they probably have someone clean their house, and yet they will come to church and clean the church building. And I look at that and I see things. Maybe it's just my training. I kind of look and I see things. We have some humble people here. May we keep this up and have the attitude of Christ. Thank you.